and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Health Masters Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are doing awesome today on this Tuesday. How are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I'm just having a blast today looking at all this news. No chemtrails today. I was outside a little bit, did a little bit of work outside, buried some plants, got a bunch of azaleas planted, and just, it was good. I got to really get a good cardio workout outside in the heat. So, yeah, it's been a good day.
Good. Well, the first story that was I wanted to bring up today, I thought this was pretty funny, actually. The $13 billion USS Gerald Ford aircraft carrier is massively behind schedule already. It was supposed to be ready for September, and now they have found out even further issues with operational test and evaluation. Said the most expensive warship in history continues to struggle launching and recovering aircrafts, moving onboard munitions, and conducting air traffic control, and with ship self-defense. These four systems affect major areas of flight operations, you think? Unless the issues are resolved, they will significantly limit the ability to conduct combat operations. So again, we see this massive scale project that the military funds, and it doesn't work. I mean, that's last time I checked, that's a pretty important concept for an aircraft carrier to be able to do, is launching and recovering aircraft. I feel like that's kind of the top of the list. You should probably make sure works pretty good before you go any further on the project. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well, the thing about it is that the technology with the steam catapults, or gosh, that's back from the 40s and 50s, right? And, you know, and so the steam catapult, what that is, that's a cable-driven system on an airplane, and they build up a big head of steam. They hook the cable. That's how they launch the Tomcats and everything to this day off the other aircraft carriers. I don't know what Gerald Ford's using. And what they do, they have a hook underneath the bottom of it. It slings the doggone airplane to about 200 miles an hour within just a few hundred feet, and it gets it airborne. And so if they try to modify some of that old technology that's worked for all of these years, that might be the problem they're having. You know, they may not have the same type of arresting cables. They may have had some geek get in there and design new systems and never having flown an airplane, had no idea what he was doing. I certainly hope that's not the case. But to have an aircraft carrier that's the world's most expensive aircraft carrier not be able to recover and have planes launch from it, it seems like it's another one of our giant F-35 debacles, Austin. What do you think?
Well, that's why I brought it up, because I feel like every time I turn around, we're just basically urinating money away on these giant projects. And like you said, that's probably what they got. They probably got some really techie, smart IT guy in there that had no understanding of, you know, basic physics with these planes and how they're supposed to launch. And he started writing some crazy concept, you know, some digital build that they did in there. And it obviously doesn't work. And, I mean, along with it having no self-defense maneuvers and not being able to move onboard munitions, that's pretty basic there. I mean, that's one of those, you know... you kind of need to think about too before you start a build. So I hope they get that situated, because that's a pretty expensive project just to scrap, which I don't think they'll do, but it's probably going to cost more money. Well, what you got for your first story today?
Well, you know, it's interesting with Erdogan again out of Turkey. Apparently, this thing's coming more and more light, and it looks like the CIA wanted him out of power, and this coup was staged by the CIA, and he knew it was coming. And we talked about this yesterday, and apparently he's lining himself up with Russia to basically fight together with Russia. And I personally believe, this is my own opinion, that he was getting greedy with the heroin coming out of Afghanistan, and he wanted a bigger cut. Because you remember a few years ago, he wanted $5 billion to take more refugees and was basically holding the entire NATO and the European Union hostage for the money. So I think he's had enough of all of this. I think he doesn't want to play the game. Because again, it's one of these guys they put into power, and then they decide to, like Saddam Hussein, and then after they put him in power, they decide he's not doing what he's supposed to do, and they end up basically taking him out or trying to. Oh, also, my regards to the family of Tim LaHaye. May he rest in peace. He died yesterday. His Left Behind series, one of the biggest series ever in Christian evangelical. So it's just a sad thing to see him go. But he was 90 years old, and so he's in heaven with Jesus now. And so I guess he didn't get left behind. I guess he got to go up in the, you know, when he died. So I'm happy for him in that respect. Another interesting article, 4 out of 5 people now are saying that the United States, this is Americans, is heading in the wrong direction, that we're going the wrong way. 8 years ago, Obama promised hope and change, betrayal and dirtier business than ever under George Bush followed. All politicians, judging solely by their actions, they serve wealth, power, and privilege exclusively. Popular needs increasingly go to begging. Each wing of the American duopoly party mimics the other and lockstep on issues mattering the most. No wonder Americans distrust politicians. What's to like? Bernie Sanders sellout to war criminal racketeer Hillary Clinton, the latest outrage. His own supporters booed him at the convention. The guy millions trusted is a dirty and rotten scoundrel, is the rest, which I told you that a long time ago. His lofty rhetoric turned out to be big lies substituting for honor and principle. And of course, remember, he met with Obama a few weeks ago, and I'm sure he got to hear the you want to be a Clinton statistic, or you want to live a long, long, long life? So I'm sure that's what he decided to do. According to an AP GFK poll, 79% of the respondents surveyed now believe the country is heading in the wrong direction. Voters strikingly unhappy with both major parties. Neither can be trusted to end the imperial wars. I don't believe that. I think Trump will stop it. He was vehemently opposed to 9/11 and going into Afghanistan and also into Iraq. And so, guys, it's just going to get interesting what's happening here. But the good news is we've got a major, major sense of we've got to make some changes brewing. And, guys, we're going to make some changes with Trump in November. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, absolutely. This is interesting. Now, three individuals down in Miami have been charged with over $1 billion in Medicaid fraud scheme. Last Friday, the Justice Department charged a Miami area healthcare operator, a hospital administrator, and physician's assistant with conspiracy involving fraudulent bills to Medicare and Medicaid exceeding over $1 billion. Conspiracy has been going on for over 14 years. They were actually getting kickbacks that were disguised as charitable donations and also getting paid under the table in cash. So this whole thing now, they're being charged with money laundering, conspiracy to defraud the U.S. government, and receiving kickbacks along with other charges. So I thought that was interesting that we just have even more people taking advantage of the Medicaid and healthcare system alongside everything else that's going on with it. So individuals like this, I really hope they have to pay something. And jail time's definitely needed. I mean, you can't start defrauding people in the American government out of billions of dollars like that. It's just not acceptable.
Awesome. That's what Hillary did.
Oh, I know. That's exactly what she did. And what's interesting to me about it is, you know, they allow her to get away with it, and these guys are probably going to go to prison for 10 or 15 years. But again, that's why everybody needs to understand that Hillary is completely and totally globalist material. All she wants to do is bring in a new world order. There's a reason why she hasn't been charged with anything. There's a reason why she gets away with every single debacle that she's involved in, because this is what they want her to do. It just shows you that there's complete and total different rule of law for the globalist picks and for the people that are just, you know, at the bottom trying to rip people off with these fraudulent schemes.
Call her the queen of blood, the wicked witch of Washington. Or whatever you want to call her. You can pick a five-letter word if you want. I'm good with that, too. but I mean, this woman, oh, my gosh, she's wicked, wicked to the core. And, you know, she's a witch, and we've talked about it before. Oh, but another update for the religion of peace. The religion of peace, an Islamic knifeman has basically forced priest 84 to kneel. 84-year-old priest in France to kneel. 84-year-old guy. This guy's such a tough guy. 84-year-old guy. And he cut his head off. They slit his throat. Holland said France is at war with ISIS after jihadists stormed French church during the mass chanting Allah Akbar. And they also injured a nun. And also, this is interesting to me, that big thing that happened in Nice a few weeks ago, they're ordering all of the film of the event destroyed. All
what?
Of the independent films that were turned in, all of the security film footage turned in, all of it destroyed and gone before the investigation is even complete. Now, to me, that reeks of 9/11.
Yeah.
Remember, there were all of these cameras that were around the Pentagon when that missile hit the Pentagon. And guys, if you believe that an airplane hit the Pentagon, you need to go listen to General Stubblebine. I got some land to sell you in a swamp over here down the road. Actually, I don't want to sell you anything. I won't defraud you. But you've been defrauded. If you believe that a missile did not hit the Pentagon, that an airplane hit that Pentagon, and you're dreaming. That was a missile that was launched into that Pentagon, probably off the bottom of a plane, and it blew an 18-foot wide hole in the plane. There are no wing marks on the hole. There is no vertical stabilizer mark on the hole. The engines disappeared. There was a tiny little engine inside. And all of the tapes, all of the footage of 9/11 and the Pentagon, all of the tapes were seized. There are no tapes. They took them all. They went to all of the different cameras in that whole area, and they got them all. All the different businesses, security footage, everything gone. And then finally, they released them through the Freedom of Information Act a few years later, and it doesn't show a plane hitting the Pentagon. It shows frame by plane of it hitting, but there's no plane. And in a 757, if that's what it was, I think that's what it was, it's a giant aircraft with huge wings. It's gonna, you can't shove a giant plane in an 18-foot hole. It doesn't work. Plus, the ground air effects of an airplane. I've flown a lot of planes. You can't do it. That's why an airplane has to come in at landing speed, you know, 150, 140 miles an hour for the bigger planes. Some of the smaller ones can land at 80 or 90 miles an hour. But the reason they do that is that when they go real, real fast, they create a massive air envelope underneath the aircraft. And it pushes it up, kind of like when you take two magnets and you reverse the poles, you try to make them go, you know, north to north, it pushes away from each other. That's the same thing the air envelope does. It's just aerodynamics. And when you take a plane and you're flying it at 500 or 600 miles an hour, you know, with the landing gear up at ground level to go into the side of the Pentagon, it's impossible to do that. It can't physically be done in aerodynamics because the air envelope keeps it above higher than that. I mean, it would be sucking up cars and everything else into the wake. It would be bringing up a huge, huge dust storm. It wasn't an airplane. That's what Stubblebine said. Stubblebine said, I don't know what it was, but I tell you it wasn't an airplane. And everybody believes, and I believe, and you know, anybody who has studied 9/11 believes it was a missile. And so, guys, that's just the newsflash. And also, if you haven't looked at Building 7, there were three huge towers that came down that day. A bunch of other buildings inside of the complex there, but the Building 7 was across the street that held the headquarters for the FBI and held all the physical evidence for Enron. And it was detonated and actually imploded about 8 hours later. And it was pulled, according to Silverstein's own words. We're gonna pull it. That's what he said. We're gonna pull the building. That was a Solomon building. And it was pulled down. And so, guys, and then of course when that happened, all the physical evidence for Enron was destroyed. And no further prosecutions took place with Enron, which is another giant multi-billion dollar scam against the California folks as far as utility bills out there with Ken LaHaye. Now, I personally don't believe he ever died. Because remember, they said after he was sentenced, they put him in jail, and he was dead 3 or 4 hours later with a heart attack, and they immediately cremated him. I don't believe for 1 second that he's dead. I believe he has so much dirt on the government, he's living his life in a non-extradition country somewhere under a new identity with billions of dollars in the bank. That's what I personally believe. But our religion of peace, again, struck again, slit another man's throat, an 84-year-old priest, if you want to believe that. And, you know, I don't know if any of this stuff is true, because they can say anything about anyone, anywhere across the world, print the stuff up in our news media over here, and we have absolutely no idea. Like I told you guys yesterday, a pregnant woman gets hacked to death by a machete. Machete's laying on the street. There's no blood on the machete. There's no blood anywhere. I didn't see the woman anywhere except for there was a tarp. No blood around a tarp. I mean, guys, they can, this is called wagging the dog, making the tail wag the dog. They can make us believe anything if you're still watching the ridiculous mainstream media and getting into their alpha brainwave state and their hypnotic state all the way down sometimes into a theta wave, and you sit there and just believe all of this junk. Guys, don't believe it. I tried to watch the part of the Democratic campaign yesterday, and I know I'm supposed to do that, and I know I didn't do it, and I know I feel I'm supposed to do it because I'm reporting on the news. I couldn't deal with it. I was getting nauseous. They had a bunch of lesbians speaking, a bunch of weirdos speaking, a bunch of whackbags speaking, and all they wanted was free stuff. And I listened to it with Austin for about 10 or 15 minutes, and I finally said, I can't take it. I have to mute this. In fact, it was so bad, we were at my mother-in-law's house, Austin's grandma's house, and the TV was still turned on, and it was so repulsive to me, I found it so repugnant that I had to turn my back towards the TV and lay on the couch and face the family because I couldn't watch it anymore. And so it nauseates me to that level. But I love that Bernie got booed, and that whatever that girl's name, Wasserman or whatever she was, what was her name, Austin? You remember the girl who basically got kicked out of the DNC now for basically hosing Bernie over?
That's I think it was like Bernstein or something. Wasserstein.
Wasserman. I don't know what it was, but I can look it up for you guys. But you know who she was. I don't put any effort into the Democrats because they nauseate me too much. Because I cannot believe that people can actually breathe air and think the way they do. It just dumbfounds me. So I don't like putting myself in that state. But anyhow, I think it was Wasserman. But anyhow, she ended up basically not even doing anything, not even dropping the gavel at the convention. So I'm happy that the Democrats are doing that. The sad part about it is they're basically in complete and total disarray now because of what they did to Bernie. And it's come back now. It's so funny. Russia keeps releasing this. I really hope they can get rid of the election fraud now, Austin. What's your next story?
Well, one thing I wanted to touch on real quick while we were still on that topic was I've had people in the past too always argue with me about the Pentagon getting hit with a plane. And the two things that you can rebuttal that is, first off, they need to watch the YouTube video. I don't remember the name of it, but they took multiple professional certified pilots and they put them in the FAA simulators, you know,
that's right,
flight instructors,
yep,
and had the exact dimensions, weight displacement, engines, everything programmed into for the plane that they said, you know, the Boeing plane that went into the Pentagon. And not one single professional, pilot could put it into the Pentagon without actually flying down the road on the ground like a runway and taking out every single thing on the street for about a mile and then running into the Pentagon. Because the same thing Dad said, the air displacement, they couldn't push the plane down hard enough and actually take it into the side of the building. The only thing they could do was run it into like the whole building off the roof into the other side, exploding like the entire building. So, and that, the second thing is, ask somebody, say, well, do you believe, you know, the planes hit the towers? Well, yeah, you know, do you believe, you know, the aircraft that same size went into one of the biggest, actually both of the biggest buildings in New York City, put a giant gaping hole, almost cut the entire building in half, and then had so much fuel and was so strong at burning by itself, this is the idea that they're saying, it dropped the entire Twin Towers, both of them, but yet the exact same plane hit the Pentagon and it blew out an 18-foot hole in the side of the building and nothing else happened. There's no logic.
Well, you know, also they had a giant aircraft hit the big tower, the other one downtown New York, the tall one that we took you know one time.
Empire.
It used to be the Empire State Building. And
yep,
it was designed along with the Trade Towers that would take that, to handle a
yep
full-size plane in it. And it didn't come down. They just had to, and in fact, no history of the planet, no tower has failed because of basically fire. And Building 7, are you joking me? No plane even hit Building 7. That thing was clearly demolished. It was Wasserman. I was right. Her name is Debbie Wasserman Schultz. So it was Wasserman. So, so that's the one who she basically is gone. So at least I remembered her name, Austin. At least I'm old enough to remember names now. So what's your next story, bud?
Well, this is interesting now. The communist state of China has now banned all internet use or internet news and can only carry state-approved content. China's top internet regulator ordered major online companies, including Sina Corp, Tencent Holdings, to stop any news reporting. The latest effort by the government to tighten its grip over the country's web and information industries, the Cyberspace Administration of China imposed the ban on several major news portals. The sweeping ban gives authorities near absolute control over online news and political discourse, in keeping with a broader crackdown on information increasingly distributed over the web and mobile devices. They've stressed that Chinese media must serve the interests of the ruling Communist Party. And guys, this is what we brought up last year when they were talking about the Internet Information Act and the Free Information Act on the Internet and the Internet Protection Act and all these different bills they've been trying to push through. This is what they're trying to go for. They've already done it. They have done it. This is what the entire goal is of the globalists. They want to completely stop and control any type of alternative media. So the only thing you will see online or TV is CNN or ABC or whatever the approved media of the day is from the government. China has already done this now. This is what they're doing. This is real. This has happened. This is what they're trying to impose over here in the United States. So it's happening, guys. They're doing it. faster and faster and faster. That's why when you see any of this stuff where, like, you know, the Internet Protection Owners Act or stuff they want to prevent, you know, online data streaming or downloading movies for free, it's garbage. It has nothing to do with protecting Hollywood, the movie industry, the music industry. It's a complete and total farce. It's all about going in and restricting people's access to the Internet so they can say, well, you looked at this, we're banning you from your Internet, or we're blocking you. You got to put in your ID now every time you go on the Internet. They're already pushing for this, and a lot of people support it blindly because they have no idea where it's going. So, guys, this is a wake-up call. China just did it. Block. Ban. Internet news, not happening unless the government approves of it. That's significant, guys, and people need to wake up and realize it's coming here unless we massively oppose that type of behavior from our government here in this country.
Well, no, you're right, and that's where it's headed this way. Interesting. The Munich shooting, this false flag down here, or whatever it was, is pushing now to end World War II limits on using German military domestically. This is the same thing they've done to us in the United States. Remember, Germany is a vassal state of the Rothschild Empire, as is the United States, through the Balfour Declaration and through AIPAC. It's just a vassal state of the Rothschilds. I mean, this is what it is. I mean, just, you guys can say what you want to say. That's just what it is. Now, Germany being another vassal state, because of World War II and the unconditional surrender, still having military, United States military bases there, now they're going to go ahead and start having the military back on the streets again in Germany. Bavarian Interior Minister Joachim Herrmann is pushing for a revision of the German Constitution after Friday's mass shooting in Munich to remove limits on using the military domestically. Man, I hope they don't do that. Mm-hmm. Limits that were put in place immediately after the destruction of the Nazi government. The German Constitution currently limits the military's domestic deployments, only allowing their use in cases of national emergency. Herrmann insisted that this was absolute, and that Germany is an absolutely stable democracy, should be perfectly comfortable with their military deployed on the streets. Baden-Württemberg's Interior Ministry also talked of some change, saying the military should be available for large-scale, serious terrorist situations, though he stopped short of Herman's suggestion they should be used for domestic threats. Guys, this is bad. This is what they're doing in the United States. I mean, Obama signed another executive order providing for civilian casualties on July the 1st. And the thing what's interesting about all of this is that, you know, when the military gets deployed on the streets, they're going to be using the frag grenades, the stun grenades, the concussion grenades. They're going to be using the Hellfire missiles. I mean, you don't want the military turning the United States into a war zone. None of this okay. Donald Trump would never do this. I mean, this is posse comitatus. You can't do this. You can't deploy the military on our soil. It's like in Germany. It's not called posse comitatus, but it's something else, that you can't put German troops on the soil. The Nazis that are dead, that were here when all that happened with Hitler and all the German fascists patrolling the streets, they don't want that back happening in Germany again. We don't want the government in any country, especially as corrupt as our governments are, you know, to be able to control the military domestically against its own people. I mean, that's exactly what just happened in Turkey. And that's why you've got up to 20,000 people now arrested and being detained, and probably a bunch of them will be, you know, executed, because the military, when it's a military state like that, you don't have any civil liberties. You know, they're not there to serve and protect. The military is there to kill and break things and blow things up. That's what they do. And when they're sent into a house to find out if someone's there, they don't go in there trying to take prisoners. They don't do that. That's not what they do. You know, if the people are laying on the floor with their hands straight up in the air or whatever, they may take them as a prisoner, but most of the time they just go in there and shoot them. And Austin, you have numerous friends that you know that returned from Afghanistan, and they're never the same people, because they'd throw these frag grenades into these houses and they'd kill all these children and women and kids, and there weren't even men in there. And they come back and they're completely and totally just destroyed emotionally because of what they've done over there. And the sad part about all of this, guys, is it's not okay. I mean, this is exactly why we have the American Revolution. We wanted to get rid of us having a quarter British troops in our houses. That was one of the things with the revolution. We wanted to have the military off the streets. I mean, that's why we set up militias, state militias. And, you know, and so this whole thing's nonsense. We don't need the military patrolling the streets of Germany, and we sure don't need the military patrolling the streets of the United States. I mean, you start running tanks down infrastructure. You know what it does to the asphalt on roads? It destroys everything. I mean, you can't be doing stuff like this. I mean, this is going to be a disaster if this happens in the United States. What do you think, Oz?
Well, no, it definitely is. I mean, that's if Germany starts going this way. I mean, we've already seen the militarized police. That's what they've done with the NRAP. So they've used kind of an in-round to get around using the police domestically by essentially making the police military. And that's what they're doing. That's then what they're doing in Germany is going to be even worse. But I remember there's a movie a while back ago. I can't remember the name, but it was with Bruce Willis. And there was a massive issue in New York City. And they were all debating whether or not they were going to declare martial law. And I remember he came in there and he addressed the council. He was like a general in this movie. And remember he said, you guys do not want to issue a martial law edict. He said, if you do this, I'm telling you what's going to happen. He goes, I'm going to come in. I'm going to deploy troops. You guys are going to have no say about it if we're going to treat this as a battle zone. And they said, oh, no, it's fine. We probably need to do this. It's escalating. And they did it. And everything escalated unbelievably bad. And they came back and said, what's going on? Why are you doing this? He goes, I told you exactly what was going to happen. If you sign this over to me, this was going to turn into a battle zone. Martial law was not something you guys wanted to do. I've taken it into my hands now. This is what you basically saddled, and you're going to ride it, you know, paraphrasing. And that's exactly what's going to happen. If they start doing this kind of stuff, it escalates really quickly because these guys, like Dad said, they don't train these guys. I mean, they train some of them for domestic issues, like the National Guard and stuff like that for riot patrol. But, I mean, if you're talking about bringing in full military infantry, it's not a good sign. It's not a good sign at all. And if they do that in Germany, that's going to be, I mean, they're already doing it in France. They've already done it in France after that massacre in Paris. And look, it's changed nothing. Supposedly, they're still having these terrorist attacks over there repeatedly. So, I mean, think about it, guys. I mean, the biggest thing anybody can do is get their fellow citizens together, their fellow patriots together, and build local, neighborhood, legal, constitutional militias that know what they're doing, know how to arm themselves safely, and can protect themselves from some type of foreign invasion. That's the best option, guys. If you have a neighborhood that has 25, 30, 35 well-armed adult men that know how to operate and handle firearms properly and know how to train, know how to communicate, know how to do coordinate searches, know how to do perimeter sweeps, know how to do surveillance, you can handle almost any area in the United States if you have multiple pockets of that, if we have some type of invasion happen.
That's right.
We can't sit here and rely on the government to babysit us and the police to babysit us and say, well, if somebody breaks into my house, I'm going to call the cops because they'll be here in 45 minutes and they'll save me. No, they're not, guys. That's not their job. They come in to sweep up the mess, to take the report case, and if the situation is still escalating, there's somebody there, then they handle it. But 90% of the crimes, they get there after the crime has been committed, guys. That's how it works. You have to have a focus group around you, a group that's well-prepared and knows what they're doing, and you can say, hey, instead of calling the cops right this second, I'm going to hit the radio on my neighbor, or I'm going to go across to the next house, and I'm going to say, hey, I need backup right now, and go from there, and then get law enforcement on the phone and get them to deploy for when the situation is over with, they can come in. But sitting here, guys, and waiting for the government to come in and babysit us and give us handouts and allow the military to protect us, it's a joke. It's an absolute joke. That's why they said when the invasion of World War II that the Japanese, I forgot his name, he said if you invade the United States right now, he goes, there is going to be a rifle behind every blade of grass in the United States. And that's because back then the United States was so well prepared as far as civilian-wise, nobody would have even dared thought a foreign invasion on this soil because they knew it would be absolute suicide. Now, everybody thinks it's a joke. They think we're a giant joke. It's a joke. Everybody thinks that America, I mean, we're fighting over letting men act like women and go in women's bathrooms. That's what we talk about on the news now. Really? That's what America's become? That's what we're so concerned about? No, guys, we need to be concerned about the safety and protection of this country, our family, and our future generations, and getting us back to a strong, stable country like we used to be. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is become self-sufficient and reliant on one another and our patriots. This government is not supposed to be there for the people to rely on it. The people are supposed to control the government. That's the way it was started, that's the way it was founded, and that's the way it's supposed to be now, and it's not that way anymore.
Well, no, that's right. You're 100% on point, Austin. I mean, we're not, the government's not our protector. That's why we have the right to bear arms. When we saw that with the Revolutionary War in 1776, the government were basically the jackboot thugs. They were the ones that put the boot of tyranny on the American population here and wouldn't even let them vote, and then started putting all these tea taxes and all this other kind of stuff. It was awful what was going on with King George. And finally, the colonists who had just fought the French-Indian War said, you know what? We're still trained as soldiers. The British trained us as soldiers. You know, we know how to handle guns. We know how to handle firearms. And everybody was at parity. Everybody had the same muskets. You know, we didn't have people coming in with hellfire missiles from 20 miles away, never knowing what happened, you know. They didn't have all that nonsense back then. And so they didn't have the ability to do it. They had mortars and all that kind of stuff, but both sides had mortars, and they knew how to use them. So you're right, Austin. You're 100% right. Oh, by the way, new study just came out. It said that mobile phones are actually cooking men's sperm, and that they're actually destroying sperm count, and that fertility experts are warning that men using a mobile phone for as little as an hour a day, especially if they keep it in their pocket, is literally cooking the sperm. And so they can't be anywhere near in your pockets or anywhere within a foot or two of the body. It will actually lower sperm levels so much that it's almost impossible to become pregnant. In fact, wow. Professor Martha Dimmfeld of the Technion University in Haifa said, we've analyzed the amount of active swimming sperm and the quality and found that it has been reduced. We think that this would be caused by the heating of the sperm from the phone and by electromagnetic activity. The team monitored more than 100 men attending the fertility clinic for a year. They found that besides men keeping their phones close to their groin, many spoke on the phone while it was charging and kept it only a few centimeters from their head. Even keeping the phone on the bedside table appears to lower sperm cell counts. Crazy. The findings are in the Journal of Reproductive Biomedicine and support a long-feared link between dropping fertility rates in men and the prevalent use of cell phones. The quality of sperm among Western countries has been constantly decreasing and considered crucial in 40% of the cases when couples have difficulty conceiving a child. Also, it's because of the DEA, the diethyl sylvesterol in the food supply. It's because of the plastics, the bisphenol A. It's because of all of this stuff. It's not diethyl sylvesterol. I'm sorry, that was a female growth hormone given to women.
BPA.
No, the diethyl sylvesterol, yes, it was, but that was given to the women back in the 50s to help prevent miscarriages, Austin, and it caused a massive reduction in fertility in men and a huge increase in testicular cancer in men. Yeah, I got those two twisted. The bisphenol A, the BPA, it also lowers sperm counts, as does soy and soy formulas. Guys, you know, just the other day, Austin had a friend, and they were talking to one of their other friends, and the girl was pregnant with a baby, and she says, well, my kid's not getting soy formula. I don't want to raise a little sissy. And, you know, and the thing about it is that that's true. When you start putting all these hormones into a woman when she's pregnant, it starts messing with the development of that young boy, even the young girls that are within them. So, guys, stay away from the female hormones. Stay away from the estrogens and mimickers. Stay away from all of this stuff, especially if you're trying to have kids, because it will really, really lower sperm count. And, guys, don't be putting your cell phone in your pocket. The other day when Mom and I went to the movies, I had my cell phone with me. I turned it off, Austin, because I had to put it in my pocket. I shut it down. I don't have to get a message so badly when I'm watching a movie that I have to leave my cell phone on, cooking my leg. I have another friend of mine that I know. He died a few years ago, and he died of leg cancer. And he used the cell phone all of the time, probably had it in his pocket all the time, or used a laptop computer or an iPad. I'll try to get a table for your chair and not leave the laptop in your lap when you're using it, or the iPad in your lap. Always keep it away from your body. That's really, really important, because all it's going to do is disrupt you from an electrical standpoint, then increase the risks of cancer, and now we see also sperm reduction. What's your next story, Austin?
Man, that's intense. I didn't realize that it had that significant of an effect, even when it wasn't, like, on your person.
Nope, even in your pocket. That's right, yeah.
Man, yeah, but I mean, say even on the nightstand bed at night. So that's pretty significant, guys. That's something everybody needs to think about, because most people do keep their cell phone in the vicinity of their person pretty close almost on a daily basis. So, yeah, that needs to be something that everybody needs to think about. All the Bitcoin fans out there, this is interesting. Miami judge now dismisses all money laundering charges. on a circuit court ruled that Bitcoin was not backed by a government or bank, it was not considered tangible wealth, and could not be charged for money laundering. Miami-Dade judge ruled Monday that Bitcoin is not actually money. In a case closely watched in the financial and tech circles, the judge threw out felony charges against web designer Michael Esposito, who had been charged with illegally transmitting and laundering money of Bitcoin. He sold them to undercover detectives who told them they wanted to use money to buy stolen credit card numbers. The circuit court judge ruled that Bitcoin was not backed by the government or bank and cannot be considered tangible wealth. Said the court is not an expert in economics. However, it's very clear even to someone with limited knowledge in the area, Bitcoin has a long way to go before it's considered equivalent money, and if felony laundering and illegally transmitting felony charges cannot be filed, and everything was dropped. So I thought that was interesting. I've seen, I know a lot of people that are into Bitcoin. I don't have any. I'm not really into it that much. I know some people that really like it, though, and they're, it's, you know, electronic money that really can't be tracked. And he's right. There's no significant backing to it. You kind of transfer money into Bitcoin, and then you can buy it as you want. So I thought that was pretty cool, though, that the guy didn't get charged with felony money laundering, because I'm one of the first proponents that money laundering charges are a complete and total joke. The fact that you can actually get charged with that and go to prison for it is an absolute just, it's a slap in the face to the United States Constitution, because all it is the IRS watchdog, big old pit bull that wants to come on you as soon as you don't pay your taxes. And that's exactly what money laundering is all about. So I'm pretty happy that judge got that dropped on that guy for the Bitcoin. Interesting.
Well, Hillary can money laundry. That's what she did.
Oh, yeah. Well, she probably has lots of Bitcoin. She didn't get charged for anything.
Well, I'm not a big proponent of Bitcoin. If you're going to buy something like that, buy physical silver. Buy silver. It's still pretty cheap right now. Buy silver. Buy gold. I don't recommend you buying Bitcoin and spending real money that you can buy gold or silver with a digital currency. I don't recommend that at all. As need grows for painkiller overdose treatments, because of what's going on with the morphine and the heroin in the United States, companies are raising the prices. Now, I've seen that, too, already here in our central Florida area. Naxalone works by blocking the effect of painkillers and heroin have in the brain and reversing the slowed breathing and unconsciousness that have come with an overdose. But as the demand for Naxalone has risen, overdose deaths now total 130 every single day in the United States, roughly the capacity of a Boeing 737 crashing every day. However, the drug price has soared. Not long ago, a dose of decades-old generic drug cost little more than a dollar. Now the lowest available price is nearly 20 times that. In 2014, more than 47,000 Americans died from drug overdoses. That was 50% more deaths than from highway accidents, and more overdoses than any year on record. The overdose crisis has its roots in the 90s, when the doctors began prescribing more and more and higher dosages of painkillers in response to campaigns often funded by behind-the-scenes drug makers that urged doctors to prescribe painkillers not just to cancer patients and others in severe pain, but also those had milder pain. The narcotic manufacturer's funding of those campaigns came to light through the evidence unearthed in lawsuits in investigative journalism. Since 1999, the amount of prescription opioids, such as oxycodone, morphine, and hydrocodone, sold in the U.S. has quadrupled. During that same time, deaths from those drugs have quadrupled. The lethal side effects of that booming prescription painkiller market has now sparked a money-making opportunity with naloxone. So, you know, guys, this is ridiculous. The CIA brings this junk in to get people on heroin. I've talked about it before, out of Afghanistan. They make all the stuff, other stuff so expensive because they want to make sure everybody becomes their heroin junkies. I mean, Austin, what do you think about this? What do you think about them raising these prices up on these drugs to help people get off of these opioids? This is ridiculous.
Well, pharmaceuticals, I mean, we already know as far as what their main interest is. It's to put some type of pharmaceutical drug in the hands of every man, woman, and child on the planet. They've stated that before, a lot of those pharmaceutical companies. So, you know, if they find a market and they can raise the price and the demand still continues to stay where it's at, even though the price has been raised, why are they not going to raise it again? I mean, these guys are complete and totally bent on ripping people off. I mean, a lot of this stuff, they produce it for literally pennies a pill, and they turn around and charge $20, $30, $40, $50 a pill for it. I mean, opiates are not expensive, guys. I mean, that stuff has been around for a very, very, very long time. It's not difficult to synthesize or compound. So the fact that they're charging more and more for it, even though we have no issue at all making it, It just shows you the greed and corruption that's involved with everything, including the healthcare and the pharmaceutical. And this is interesting, too, now, with the CDC, former director of the CDC's Division for Heart Disease and Stroke Prevention, who's a veteran leader and was assisting Coca-Cola and International Life Science Institute in influencing world health authorities on issues related to sugar and beverage policy, Dr. Barbara Bowman has now stepped down from her position. Bowman's exit from the CDC comes after a number of her emails. Again, these guys are sending these emails out. They're getting busted. Good job. Number of her emails were revealed as having provided guidance to Alexa Mastina, former top Coca-Cola executive and strategist. Indeed, Mastina, along with Coca-Cola, helped founded ILSI. The emails were revealed by the Virtue of Freedom and Information Act, requested filed by the U.S. Right to Know. So what happened was they were working with Coca-Cola and indirectly the International Life Science Institute and helping to influence world health authorities on sugar and beverage policies. When they come out with these articles that are saying, oh, it's better to drink Coca-Cola than to drink water. Oh, Coca-Cola doesn't cause obesity. Oh, Coca-Cola doesn't cause pancreatic cancer. Oh, it doesn't cause diabetes. Don't worry about it. Drink 2 liters a day. It's healthy for you. It's better than drinking water. That's what these guys were involved in with this. And so it's funny, she basically got busted, had to step down now. So it's good. I like a lot of these emails coming out like Dad said yesterday, especially when these people are involved in really, really, really shady stuff. People need to know about it. It's all right, especially when they're working for the CDC, man. That's a government-paid, you know, institution. We fund that.
Now, here's here's another article. There's a product, cats. Okay, I'm not a cat guy. Okay, I'm just not. Just let you guys know that. Now, I had a Burmese show up here one time. That was a real nice cat. Hung around for about 7 years or so, and but that was it was an outside cat. And you know, every time I would touch the cat, I always wash my hands. Nice cat though, but I'm not a cat guy. I'm not going to sit here and try to pretend like I'm a cat guy because I'm not a cat guy. I like big animals, like dogs, like you know, German Shepherds and Alaskan Malamutes and those kind of dogs. And so what was interesting about this is when you hang around cats and you get near the feces of a cat, you end up having a disease called toxoplasmosis that you can catch. In fact, pregnant women have to be really careful about this. And that's actually a cat brain parasite. You actually get like a worm inside of your brain. And this worm basically makes you start craving cat urine smells. And it's made primarily from mice because it makes the mice crave cat urine smells. So they start looking for cats and they get eaten by the mice, by the cats. So that's how it works. But let me tell you this. There's this guy. This is how Big Pharma uses charity programs to cover up for drug price hikes. This is going to blow your mind. This is out of Bloomberg. Back in August of 2015, Turing Pharmaceuticals and its then chief executive, Martin Shkreli, purchased a drug called Teriprim, which is used for toxoplasmosis and brain parasites from cats, and then immediately raised its price more than 5,000%. This guy's a gift that keeps on giving. Within days, Turing contacted PSI, a charity that helps people meet the insurance co-payments on costly drugs. Turing wanted PSI to create a fund for patients with toxoplasmosis, a parasitic infection that is most often treated with Daraprim. Having just made Daraprim 5,000% more costly, Turing was now offering to make it more affordable, but this is not a feel-good story. It's a story about why expensive drugs keep getting more expensive and how U.S. taxpayers support a billion-dollar system in which charitable giving is, in effect, a very profitable form of investing for drug companies, one that may also be tax-deductible. Pay attention. PSI, which runs similar programs for more than 20 diseases, jumped at Turing's offer. PSI is a patient assistance charitable organization commonly known as a copay charity. It's one of the 7 large charities offering assistance to some of the 40 million Americans covered through the government-funded Medicare drug program. Here we go. A million-dollar contribution from a pharmaceutical company to a copay charity can keep hundreds of patients from abandoning a newly priced drug. Fueled almost entirely by drug makers' contributions, the 7 biggest copay charities, which cover scores of diseases, had combined combinations. I mean, these are all tax write-offs for these guys of $1.1 billion in 2014, and that $1 billion in aid, drug companies get many billions back. You hear that? From $1 billion in aid, the drug companies keeping these people on the drug is billions and billions back from the insurers. It's another way of knowing how corrupt the pharmaceutical industry is. I mean, it's nuts that they actually are able to do this and use $1 billion in charities and give this money back as copays and make billions and billions and billions more on the drugs they're selling. So guys, don't do drugs. If at all possible, if you have to take a drug, use it for the shortest period of time possible. Don't take statin drugs if at all possible. Avoid all drugs if possible and just use natural, simplistic, holistic remedies. That's what we offer at Health Masters. There's all kinds of natural ways to help maintain healthy blood sugar. In fact, we've got the Doug Hagman blood sugar protocol. Now, Dave Hodges is also in that blood sugar protocol. His blood sugar is normal again. We've got the Hodges's, you know, the healthy joint protocol. We got all of these things that are available to you from a natural standpoint at healthmasters.com, plus the highest quality nutraceutical supplements in the world. So thank you for supporting us. Thank you for at least getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for getting our newsletter so we can keep you updated on all this information. And thank you for supporting us. A lot of you send contributions to help support the radio show because you like it so much. Thank you. It's very, very expensive to do this every month, and it takes a tremendous amount of work for both me and Austin. So anything you can do to help it, thank you. I appreciate that so much. And by the way, I will be back on with Doug Hagman on Friday night this week for the entire 3 hours. Austin, what do you think about these guys giving money to nonprofits to pay the people deductible so they keep selling more drugs? It's almost
sounds
unbelievable.
Like it just rolls right in to the pharmaceutical healthcare protocol that we've grown so accustomed to loving.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's exactly what it is. I mean, when you have this corruption like this that basically has no limits, I mean, when you see Hillary Clinton doesn't even get, you know, charged with anything, they drop all charges for absolutely no reason at all. Again, we talked about before, there's no rule of law. These guys they get away with whatever they want. If they do something like that, they just pay a little fine. But man, forbid, you know, if Volkswagen changes their diesel a little bit so it's not quite as clean when it first starts up, man, we better fine them billions and billions and billions of dollars because of this. But, you know, these pharmaceutical companies kill tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people a year with these. The vaccine industry does the same. These guys do this, and there's really no ramifications with it. Like you said, they may have to pay a fine. They may get a little slap on the wrist here and there. But overall, it's a real joke what they actually get away with.
Here's another article from the New York Times. It's talking about the price of prevention. Vaccine costs are soaring. That's the vaccines they're giving people to poison them, okay? Vaccine prices have gone from single digits to sometimes triple digits in the last 2 decades, creating dilemmas for doctors and their patients, as well as straining public health budgets. Some potentially life-saving preventative treatments, which I don't agree with this statement they just made, and the insurers are reimbursed poorly, sometimes even at a loss. Childhood immunizations mandates that the coverage at no out-of-pocket cost are generally required for school entry. Old vaccinations have been reformulated with higher costs. The new ones have entered the market at once unthinkable prices. Together, since 1986, they pushed up the average cost to vaccinate a child to over $2,000 from $100 back then. According to the data for the Centers for Disease Control, the cost for the federal government, which buys half of all vaccines for the nation's children, has increased 15-fold during that period. Again, I want you to understand that. The federal government's paying for these vaccinations, and the costs have gone up 15-fold during that same period. Why? Because they realized if they mandated these drugs, the federal government had to buy them, and they couldn't be sued even if they didn't work. Crazy. The most expensive shot for young children in Dr. Irwin's refrigerator is Prevnar 13, which prevents supposedly pneumococcal bacteria and ear infections. I don't buy that at all. But each shot is priced at $136, and most states require children to get 4 doses before entering day school or preschool. Pfizer, the sole manufacturer, had revenues of nearly $4 billion last year from Prevnar alone. Wow. Come on, guys. Seriously? Oh, my gosh. It's just the drugs. So, yes, nuts. What's your next story?
Wow. No, it's great. Well, this one rolls right into it. Now, the CDC, which, you know, got a couple of articles on them today, they're recommending for the first time now that even low-risk high school students receive the meningitis B vaccine. the shot is given in two or three doses over the course of 2 to 8 months. The problem is, according to a recent study now conducted by the researchers at the University of Minnesota, Princeton, and Public Health of England, published in the New England Journal of Medicine, stated the researchers collected blood samples from more than 600 students at a New Jersey university during a 2014 meningitis B outbreak, which marked the first U.S. use of the MenB vaccine. The researchers found that one-third of the fully vaccinated students showed absolutely no immunity to the MB strain involved in the outbreak, even though they showed significant immunity to two MB strains used to develop the vaccine. So it didn't work at all. They said that the MenB vaccine may have a very limited useful purpose, and that certain strains still don't even work. So you really need to basically reevaluate using these vaccines. Granted, you guys already know my stance on them in general with this stuff. But it's funny, though, when you hear about this and they start mandating vaccines, like Dad just said, they have no downside. You mandate it, so you force people to take it. You have the government subsidize it, so you automatically get paid. You get a Protection Act in 1986 that doesn't matter if you put monkey poop in the vaccine and you kill 1,000 people. You still can't get sued. There is no downside for these guys. And why would they have any type of incentive to even produce a clean, effective, useful vaccine? There is none. They have no reason to do that. There is no downside if they do nothing at all. They could sell saline water in these vaccines and get away with it, and they still would have no repercussions. That's what's so crazy about this whole vaccine industry now, and it's gotten so out of hand. So I said repeatedly, if Trump gets in office, we have to get this 1986 Vaccine Protection Act completely repealed. It's not something that we can continue to go down this road. I mean, look what you were just saying, Dad. The prices have gone up 15-fold with the government of what they've been paying over the last 15 to 20 years. Well, guess what? That vaccine protection owners, that's only 30 years old. Do you see what's happened now when you actually allow them to do whatever they want without any repercussions at all, and the government subsidizes it and mandates it? You have no downside, and all you have to do is keep raising the prices and producing garbage, dirty, nasty, toxic vaccines that do nothing, and you still get paid. So, I mean, everybody in America that doesn't figure this out has to be brain dead in thinking that this is actually okay to continue down this road. So I really hope we can get that 86 bill completely repealed. That would make a huge difference on the overall health of our entire country.
I remember I told you the story the other day. We had a lady call me years ago, and she'd had like, it was either two sons or three sons, and all of them got immunized with their MMR boosters at 2 years of age. And the first one at two, the other one's just been born. And the first one who got the MMR shot, she ended up becoming autistic within a couple of days. The next one turned two, got the shot, became autistic. Next one turned two, got shot, became autistic. And she called me up, just crying. She goes, now I'm a believer. These are bad. I don't know what to do. And I said, well, that's before we knew about GCMAF, and that there's really nothing you could do about it back then. And I told her, I said, oh, I feel bad for you. I said, I don't know what to say. I said, she goes, well, why can't you stop this? Like telling me, why can't I stop this, right? And I'm like, I've tried. I've done everything I can. I've shouted it from the rooftops. I've done seminars to over a million people in live audiences and done thousands of talk shows. I've talked about this stuff over and over and over, and we have helped millions of people. The problem is the mainstream media continues to lie about this stuff so much, and the drug companies continue to lie so much, and the Vaccine Act continues to protect these guys, that as long as they're not going to have to be held accountable for what they're doing to the people they're poisoning, it's never going to stop. Now, once you make them accountable and these drugs are no longer profitable because of lawsuits, and you stop doing all these required immunizations by the government,
yep,
this will all change. But
yep,
until then, we have to stand as individual consumers that are awake going, hey, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to put this poison into my child. My child can get along quite well without this mess, and I have absolutely no interest in being involved in any of this nonsense. And guys, until we all stand in the aggregate and look at this that way, it's never going to make a difference with anyone. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. And guys, I hate to be the bearer of bad news like that, but guys, listen to me. There are literally thousands of articles on vaccines now, how bad they are, on the internet. It's not like it takes a rocket scientist to find this stuff. and you have to have somebody who's willing. And start them off with this. Say, look, you know, here's the thing. If you're going to have to vaccinate before you put them in school when they're 5 years old, why don't you just wait until they're 4 years old to vaccinate? Because most of these kids are coming down with autism at the 18-month, 24-month cycle.
Yep.
So why don't you just wait until they're 20, until they're 4 years old, and then get their shots if you want to do it that way. That way, you can at least stall the onslaught of these vaccines until that child's 4 years old or 5 years old, and then maybe they'll actually have picked up a computer and looked at it themselves and started thinking about what they were doing when they see the child is happy and healthy for the first 4 years. But sometimes it helps, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, I know a friend of mine, I mentioned this the other day, who's a pastor's son. Pastor's vehemently opposed to that vaccine. Son just went ahead and vaccinated a kid. Crazy. By the way, the Food and Drug Administration has finally admitted that raw cheeses are not dangerous. For more than a decade, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has had an undeclared war on raw milk cheese until last week, when the FDA finally said, by the way, it's okay. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, it's absolutely nuts. I've been eating raw cheese for years and years and years, and I absolutely love it. So, guys, yeah, just don't worry about raw cheese. It's healthy. DuPont has been forced to pay $5.1 million to a cancer victim from BFOA. Okay? This guy, he basically got, this is a chemical compound. This guy contracted testicular cancer for the perfluoric acid, and most definitely it's in Teflon is what it's used. Never use Teflon nonstick cookware. The jury took less than 1 day to deliberate before finding DuPont guilty of negligence. I'm telling you guys, Teflon vapors, if you have birds in your house and you start cooking with Teflon, you'll kill the birds. This stuff is that poisonous, all right? It's just some toxic mess. There's thousands and thousands of lawsuits now against DuPont because of this, because of all these diseases that are being caused by Teflon. Nonstick cookware needs to be disposed of. Use stainless steel, glass, or cast iron. That's it. We cover that in my Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program. Guys, thank you for listening. I hear our music starting. I appreciate you guys. We love you guys. I like coming into your house every day and just talking to you like this and just part of our little backyard discussion here. Thank you for taking care of us, and we'll take care of you guys, and we'll support each other, and we'll pray for one another. Thank you for being our friends, and thank you for listening. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yeah, guys, we do. We appreciate everything and appreciate all the emails and the stuff you guys send us. I've had a lot of you guys send me articles and stuff that you find that I haven't seen before, you know, we haven't talked about. And I've said that numerous times. If you guys have a topic, if you have an article, if you have something that you want us to bring up on the show, shoot me an email. You know, I try to respond to everything. Dad tries to respond to stuff. We do get a lot of emails, so I appreciate you guys being patient. And sometimes I may not respond if you just send me an article that says, hey, we want you to talk about this. I'll just try and bring it up. But, yeah, we appreciate it. Email us or call us if you need anything, guys. You have a blessed night, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.